Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I have with me a very, very accomplished leader from Sydney, Australia, Mr. Anthony Howard. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ash. It's such a delight to be here.
Thank you. Anthony is the CEO and founder of the Confidere Group and the Socratic Leader Academy. He's an author, and all of you who listen to me know I'm very partial to authors. His book titled Humanize, Why Human-Centered Leadership is the Key to the 21st Century, we will talk about. So let's start, Anthony, with asking you a question. Why are you known as the CEO whisperer and a business philosopher?
It's an interesting mix, isn't it? Can I take you back to a story many, many years ago?
Yes, of course.
I see in your background there, the map of the world. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a small rural part of Australia. Mm-hmm. And when I finished school, I went away to sea. I was a navigator in the Merchant Navy, and so sailing many of those wow. oceans. Mm-hmm. But as a young man, I had an extraordinary experience. I found that I would be on watch in the middle of the night, and it's dark, and the ship is cutting through the water, and I would hear someone coming up the stairs. And so one night, a man comes. It was all men on the ship, I hear a man come up the stairs, and he parts the blackout curtains, and he looks through, and he kind of looks around and gets his night vision, and he finds me out on the wing of the bridge end. Mm-hmm. And he walks out and he stands beside me. And so let's call him Brian. Brian stands beside me, and we're both looking out at the horizon. Mm-hmm. And he says, I've just had a telegram from my wife. She's going to leave me. And I had this kind of experience repeatedly where people would come and tell me the most kind of tragic and awful things that they were facing, that they were powerless to do anything about, because we're mm-hmm. stuck out on a ship, weeks away from port. This was, of course, before the days of the internet. You couldn't get on the phone or send an mm-hmm. email. And so he just needed someone to talk to.
Right.
And I said to Brian, I said, that must be tough. Mm-hmm. And Brian wasn't looking for advice. Mm-hmm. He was just looking to be seen and heard and understood. And that's kind of what most of us are looking for. We're just looking for someone who's going to be there for them, who's going to see them, hear them, mm-hmm. and understand. And I didn't really know then that would be the seeds of my eventual career as, what became the CEO Whisperer, or people have called me.
Okay.
The CEO Whisperer. I wouldn't give me that title myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But one of the things about a horse whisperer. Horse whisperers are prey animals rather than predators, and they develop a highly tuned sense of their environment and the other, if you like. And so because the environments I inhabited were very brutal, it was a brutal world at sea, I developed this high degree of awareness of people and where they were at. And so it gave me a facility to be able to sit down with a CEO, a big personality, if you like, and create a safe space for them where they could talk about the stuff that really mattered to them, knowing that they weren't going to be judged, they were just going to be seen and heard and understood. And that's probably why people call me the CEO Whisperer.
Okay.
And the business philosopher arises. I've always been curious, and I've pursued, advanced studies in philosophy. I have a doctorate in philosophy. Mm-hmm. And so the ability to kind of ask questions and seek meaning and purpose, that would be why. They also call me both a philosopher and a whisperer.
Wow. And I guess that's where your group, the Confidere, comes from, which is from confidence, is it?
Well, Confidere comes from the Latin, together in trust.
Okay.
And so I had started this kind of life as a mentor more than 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I found I became a confidant more than a mentor. And so people would kind of take me into their confidence. And so they may present with a business problem in the initial stage, growth challenge, a strategic challenge. But over time, the relationship morphed, if you like, or evolved into much more one of a confidant.
Wow.
Someone that they could talk to and say, hey, I just need to run this by you before I talk to the board, or I'm thinking about this or whatever. And so Confidere comes from that idea of being a confidant to a senior person.
Fabulous. And as a mentor for senior leaders, what are some of the kind of challenges that you normally work with?
They kind of broadly fall into four domains, the strategic, operational, stakeholder, and personal. Mm-hmm. And that's really the challenge for a leader, to get those domains balanced, you know, to pay sufficient attention to the strategic, the operational, the people, stakeholder stuff, and themselves.
Right.
And themselves often comes a long last, mm-hmm. as you would know, and many of your listeners would know. But hidden in what I've just said is the fundamental challenge for most leaders, and that is to figure out what are the things I need to do that really matter. Mm-hmm. Because for a CEO, their to-do list never, ever, ever gets shorter. Mm-hmm. They don't come in tomorrow and go, "Wow, look at that! I've got nothing to do today." It's like I have so many choices. I've got to make the best decision that mm-hmm. I can. And so to be able to give them clarity, this is probably where we do our primary work about the kind of end game they're trying to create, which is goes back to the navigation idea of a lighthouse. Where am I going? Get some clarity around that and say, right, now I can make decisions in that kind of framework. And more than anything else, I now know what to say no to because I can't say yes to everything.
Interesting. And what would you say is the difference between coaching and mentoring when you talk to senior leaders?
I appreciate that for many people, it kind of means the same thing. And I appreciate that in different countries, we have different understandings of coaches and mentors. And, mm-hmm. and so if someone wants to call the work I do coaching or mentoring, I'm kind of comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. But the distinction that I would make is if I would look at, for argument's sake, a cricketing analogy, mm-hmm. you know, when you're selected to play for Australia or India or mm-hmm. the UK, when you're selected for the team, you know, there's this wonderful ceremony about being given the cap or, correct. You know, the uniform or, mm-hmm. or whatever, and you're proud to be part of the team. Mm-hmm. And almost certainly someone is going to say to you, "Hey, congratulations for making the team. However, mm-hmm. you're good enough to make the team. You're not good enough to stay on the team. Because mm-hmm. everyone else around the world is developing. So we're going to give you all these coaches. Mm-hmm. Could be a batting coach or a fielding coach or whatever your skill is. So we'll give you mm-hmm. coaches to develop your skills mm-hmm. to ensure you continue to play at this elite mm-hmm. level. But at the same time, the player would benefit from having a mentor. And the mentor is someone who's played the game before. Mm-hmm. And the mentor is someone that they can go to is probably a retired player or someone who's been close to other players. The mentor mm-hmm. is someone that can go to and say, "Look, I'm finding it difficult. You know, I'm wondering about this, or I'm troubled by that, or I'm not getting on with the coach, or I need to hone this skill. What do you think I should do?" The mentor is someone that they can talk to about the stuff they really can't talk about with anybody else, who understands their world. That's the distinction that I would make.
Fascinating. Fascinating. And my next question before I move to the next segment is, you know, we often talk about a mentor or a coach supporting different individuals and their challenges. My question to you is, how does a mentee evaluate whether they have got a good mentor?
One thing I think matters more than anything else, and that's being clear at the start why we're engaging together. Mm-hmm. And so the way I would frame that for a client is, you know, if we work together for 12 months, what will success look like? Mm-hmm. What do you expect to see? What will have shifted, changed, developed? Mm-hmm. And that gives them something to kind of keep measuring back against and to mm-hmm. say, "Look, you know, this is what I've done." The something that still, I think, however, sets apart great clients from others, so good mm-hmm. mentees, is the level of preparation they do. Mm-hmm. You know, I have clients that come and say, "This is what's on the agenda today. I need to think about this. We spoke last time, I've done that." You know, so in other words, they take the engagement very, they're very committed to their own growth.
Correct.
And development. Yeah.
Okay. So I think let's now move on to the next segment and talk about the other baby that you have, which is the Socratic Leader Academy. And you say that you are on a quest to reinvent the way the world does leadership. Help me understand this particular vision or mission that you have, and then we'll get into some more questions.
Most of you listening would know by looking at a leader, seeing mm-hmm. what they say and do, how they value the person that they're talking to or leading.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern over many, many years is I see people being treated as resources or assets, being treated as units of economic production, being said, hey, people are our greatest asset, and gee, we get rid of that asset real fast if we can't afford to keep them. And so people are just treated not as Anthony or Ash, you know, not as someone's husband or wife, brother or sister, but as just a disposable asset. And that really, frankly, really riles me.
Correct.
And it's just so unnecessary. And so we're just on a mission to change that.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, moving on, you say you are restoring human dignity to business, government, and civil society. Help me understand this with an example or an anecdote.
That's the grand plan. And bearing in mind, we're still in a startup phase, but that is the grand plan. And so dignity addresses this issue, you know, of the value of the person. So the person is not a worker, but as I said, you know, they're a husband, father, you know, brother, sister, and so forth. So, you know, for example, I was with a firm a while back and we'd spent the day talking about human-centered leadership, caring for people, being a person at work, turning up, hearing your story, all those very human kind of things. And then at the end of the day, one of the leaders of the firm joined the meeting and both kind of summarized what had happened for the day, but also gave an update on what was happening in the firm. And the distinction that I would make is we'd spent the day in essence talking about a human system, and he started talking about an economic system, delivering the numbers, making sure your people performed, productivity. That's the distinction. You know, we want to be sure that when we talk about people, we're talking about people. COVID has given us so many examples. I was reading in the newspaper here in Australia the other day about a COVID case who came in on an aeroplane from somewhere, and then the case visited a bottle shop and a supermarket, and then the case went home to their family, and then the case went to work the next day. This was not a case. This was a person. This was a person who happened to have COVID. This was not a case. And we use this kind of language very subtly, but it strips us of our dignity.
You're right.
That's what we're on a mission to restore.
You're right. What you're saying is we are dehumanizing humans.
We dehumanize all the time inadvertently because we label people and we forget who they are by using the labels. It's very tragic.
Very well said.
Mm.
And when you say, Anthony, you are reinventing leadership, help me understand what are some of the challenges that you think exist in current leadership that you want to be able to correct or reinvent?
It comes down to this whole thing that, you know, the management schools and so forth built around case studies, built around economic kind of systems. So I accept that. So I'm not saying that that's, you know, morally bankrupt or whatever.
Sure.
All that I'm saying is we've lost sight of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And so we train people to, you know, succeed on numbers. We celebrate their numbers. We celebrate their successes.
Mm-hmm.
And if I talk about human-centered, this may be, if I talk about human-centered leadership and talk about, you know, putting persons first, the audience will nod in agreement and someone will invariably put up their hand and say, Dr. Howard, what's the business case for this? And so I'm tempted to say I'm tempted to say, well, do you want me to give you a business case for treating people badly? In other words, this is the morally right thing to do, but I understand why they're asking it because they want to go back to their boss who thinks I've got to go to my board and say, hey, you know, if we treat people the right way, this could be the impact on the numbers. Now there's numerous case studies that prove the value of it, but the proof point for me will be in the years to come, someone will put up their hand and say, hey, come and show us how to do it. They'll no longer be saying, prove to us why it's right. We'll know it's right. We'll see it's being done and we'll just want to know how to do it.
That's so amazing. You know, and there's so many people when they talk to me on my platform and they say, what's your monetization model? I said, nothing. I said, this is my way of giving back. And they said, but how can you do something like this? So I fully understand what you are saying about people saying, what's the business case?
Yes.
But I think moving on, you also have a four-dimension proprietary model to build human-centered environments. I'd love to understand a little more.
So this was the central piece of my PhD research, which was driven by this concern about people being treated as a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I looked at leadership and almost everything that's written about leadership talks about what leaders do. It talks about traits. It talks about attitudes, behaviors, mm-hmm. competencies, and so forth, what I call the ABCs.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked at it and said, well, leadership, I think, is fundamentally a person leading another person.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does it mean to be a person leading a person?
Mm-hmm.
And so the model says, well, a person, this will be a whole nother mm-hmm. conversation, but a person is someone who is a meaning-seeking entity. We seek purpose. Mm-hmm. A person is someone who is relational. We grow in relationship
mm-hmm.
with others. A person is someone who is responsible. We're self-determining. We want to make and be free to make our own choices.
Mm-hmm.
And a person, somewhat paradoxically, becomes who we are by self-giving, by gift, rather than by taking.
Mm-hmm.
And so those four dimensions say, you know, I become fulfilled as a person
mm-hmm.
by finding my meaning, by having quality relationships,
mm-hmm.
by taking responsibility for my life, and by finding where I can use my gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's what it means to be a person, leading a person, if I'm a person leading another person, then leadership is fundamentally a relationship between two or more people mm-hmm. and getting that relationship right. It's fundamentally about being clear about what our responsibilities are
mm-hmm.
in this leadership relationship. It's mm-hmm. fundamentally about understanding where we bring our gifts to bear in service of one another
mm-hmm.
yeah, for that. And so what's really interesting, however, is I don't follow a leader,
mm-hmm.
which is the classic kind of model, but the leader and I happen to have different roles and responsibilities. The leader and I, we follow, in a good organization, a purpose or a common good.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose sits outside ourselves. So when you say this is what it means to be a person, those four dimensions, it's very easy then to say, so therefore the mm-hmm. four dimensions of leadership mirror that.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. So let's move to the last segment of our conversation, which is about your book. You've written a book titled Humanize, Why Human-Centered Leadership is the Key to the 21st Century. Tell me a little bit about your book and your hypothesis.
The book came from a number of conversations I'd done with leaders around the world and talking about what they saw emerging in the world and the kind of challenges confronting the world. And the question that arose from that is, well, where are the leaders who can help us navigate what's coming? And no one had an answer.
Okay.
And then one day someone framed that as, well, where are the new Mandelas? This mm-hmm. was, you know, when Mandela, mm-hmm. where are the new Mandelas? Where are the new Mother Teresas, the new Mother Martin Luther Kings, you mm-hmm. know? And what they were driving at was there's a kind of leader
mm-hmm.
who stands above everything else, who sees beyond that, who actually sees the person
mm-hmm.
in some sort of way. They're human-centered in some kind of way. And so that was a thrust for the book to say, how do we find and develop? How do you and I become? Because what I grasped was
mm-hmm.
the, whilst the Mandela, this to your earlier observation, whilst the Mandelas might be rare,
mm-hmm.
there are actually thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It's you and I, it's our listeners, it's every one of us who has a mission and a purpose. And if we step up for that and mm-hmm. be the person we were called to be,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be that new Mandela. And the challenges confronting the world today, the depersonalizing, dehumanizing challenges,
mm-hmm.
the way we're treated at work, the way machines treat us and systems treat us,
mm-hmm.
the hypothesis of the book is let's put the human person first and we'll change the world.
Amazing. So I have to ask you this one more question because I've often heard and read that there is this time theory of history, which says that leaders are thrown up when the time demands it to be thrown up. But my question to you is, are leaders born or are they made?
Well, the science kind of says, you know, there's about 30% nature and the rest is nurture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's obviously a good argument for that. You know, the I took drawing and painting lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So I can paint, but I will never be a Picasso or a Rembrandt.
Correct.
And so they have a talent that I just simply don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that sense, we can all be leaders. And in a sense, we all are. You know, when someone looks at what you're doing and follows you, in that moment, you are a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But a better question or another question can be, are followers born or made?
Okay.
Because the vast majority of us, we're actually followers.
Oh.
we're actually following someone else. And if we're a good follower, we're probably going to be a good leader.
Wow. What a great response. And on that note, Anthony, thank you so much for speaking to me.
Thank you, Ash. Thank
you for telling me about your amazing journey on the big seagoing vessel and how you got the word CEO Whisperer attached to you. Thank you for talking to me about the Confidair Group, the Socratic Leader Academy, and your book. And one quick clarification, I'm assuming your book is available on Amazon and the other platforms.
And all the platforms.
Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you very much. A delight to be here.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.